And I haven't read the Ten Commandments in a long time. I haven't hung out in the book of Exodus in a while. But going through and just reading through some things in Exodus and reading through the commandments again, one of the things that I was reminded of and really excited about is as you read the Ten Commandments, one of the things that just jumps out is God's desire, God's heart for relationship. Meaning God in the Ten Commandments presents to us how we can have a right relationship with Him and how we can have right relationship with each other. And what's the exciting thing is God's desire is that we would have a right relationship with our Creator and that we would have right relationships with each other here and with people who are not here, our neighbors. Now, as you've gone through, I'm sure Todd has talked a lot about this as he's been walking through. This is commandment number 9. The first handful of commandments deals with our vertical relationship. It talks to the relationship we have with God and how to have that relationship with God. And then really the back half speaks to how we can relate rightly with each other. Now, it's a pretty simple concept, but things like murder, things like adultery, things like thievery, things like coveting, those are pretty obvious that if you have those as part of your relationship with each other, it's a relationship that's really not going to go too well, meaning those are things that will be relational killers. This morning, we're going to talk about lying. And if you want to have something that will just terminate a relationship ASAP, introduce lying into that relationship, whether it's your marriage, whether it's relationship at maybe with your boss or a coworker or just with a friend. The second that you introduce lying into a relationship, it is an absolute relational killer because it's very difficult to recover from when someone lies to you. Because the thing that is just robbed immediately when lies are introduced is trust. If you've lied to me here, well, where else would you lie to me? And especially if it was only just over that, where else would you lie to me? So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to read Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. So if you would, pray with me. Jesus, I just give thanks that you love every single person here in this place today. And God, if there's anyone here that is not convinced of how good and kind and gracious and merciful, forgiving and loving you are, God, I pray that today their heart, their mind would be blown away. God, that they would walk out of this place convinced that you love them greatly, that you have lavished your love upon each of us. God, I love that we can open up your scriptures, open up your word, and God, I give thanks that scripture says of itself that Scripture is living and it is active and it can speak to every single heart and soul that is here. And I pray, God, that you would do that in this place today for us. God, I can only imagine that there are many here who have been burned or stung by someone else's lies. So even bringing up the subject of lies, God, might just bring up a lot of current hurts or past hurts, or even a future that's uncertain because of lies ongoing. So God, I just pray that you would really not only speak to our hearts, but where hearts have been just wounded, where lives have been shattered, where relationships have been broken. God, let today be a great day of just restoration, a great day of reconciliation. And only you can do that, and I just pray, especially for those who have been really hurt and burned by someone else's word, by someone else's lie. God, just bring comfort, bring healing, and God, also bring a sense of conviction that we here would be people who speak truth. And I pray that in your name. Amen. Exodus 20, verse 16 says this, "You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor." So, this is a pretty difficult concept, but I'll lay it out pretty simply. Don't lie. I was so tempted all week just to say, that's it, don't lie, and just sit down, and it's a pretty simple thing. The commandment clearly just says, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. The command is specifically not to lie, and namely, against your neighbor. And if you've gone through the 9 and you're getting familiar with the 10 commandments so far, this is the first time that the word neighbor is actually used. And the way that neighbor is used here in Exodus 20 is anyone that you come in contact with. It's not just the person sitting immediately next to you or the person that you happen to live in their same neighborhood or community. If you come into contact with someone, that is your neighbor. And so the command is, do not give false testimony, do not lie. Now, in ancient Israel, lying was a really big deal. I'm not going to say it's not a big deal in our culture. It's just certainly happens a lot where I think we just get so used to it. It's just not that big of a deal. But in ancient Israel, if you lied or were a false witness or gave false testimony to someone, Deuteronomy, actually, chapter 19, talks about what would happen to that person. And Deuteronomy 19 says this, start verse 16. If a malicious witness takes the stand to accuse a man of a crime, the two men involved in the dispute must stand in the presence of the Lord before the priests and the judges who are in office at that time. The judges must make a thorough investigation, and if the witnesses proves to be a liar, giving false testimony against his brother, then do to him as he intended to do to his brother. Did you catch that? Do to him as he intended to do to his brother. You must purge this evil from among you. The rest of the people will hear of this and be afraid, and never again will such an evil thing be done among you. Actually goes on in verse 21 and says, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Okay, lying was a really big deal. So if you lied against someone, spoke falsely, said something that just was not true, whatever the consequence of that, if it was actually true, which sometimes could be death. So if you accuse someone falsely and it was proven not to be true, but you gave false testimony, that consequence would now be on your head. That's a great deterrent for lying. And that's what, in ancient Israel, lying was a really big deal. Did you catch the back end? It says, the evil, purge this evil from among you. Never again will such an evil thing be done. I don't know if we use that language when we're talking about lying. When we talk about lying, are we thinking about it? This evil has to be purged. There's no place for it. That we have to have this, never again could something as evil as lying, bearing false witness, false testimony, could it ever take place? Simple question is, what is lying? St. Augustine defined lying as this: a lie consists in speaking a falsehood with the intention of deceiving. Simple definition: a lie consists in speaking of a falsehood with the intention of deceiving. Okay, if you're 6'2", will you please stand up real quick? Like a legit 6'2". Brian Battle, all right? What's your name again? Kevin. 6'2"? Anyone else? All right, see. You sure? Sort of? All right, we'll let you keep standing. See, Colin. See, Colin, you can get away with pretty much anything because you got a cool accent. So I want it to be like these three, not so much that fourth over there. My goal in life, okay, from high school, I wanted to be 6'2" so bad that I told myself I was 6'2". And after 20 years, I actually believe that I'm 6'2". So you can go ahead and sit down. I just came out with this. I was preaching actually online at Genesis a couple months back, and this was a big deal to actually confess this publicly. If you ever look at my driver's license, the lie continues. It says I'm 6'2". But the reality is, and this is hard for me to say, I'm only 6'1". I am only 6'1". I just thought 6'2", they had it much easier. It was so much better being 6'2". People who are 6'1", you know, they get the shaft and everything. But if you're 6'2", and honestly, for the longest time, I told myself that lie that it got so in me that I actually believed I was 6'2". So when I would go and get a license, and you fill out, you know, how much you weigh, and I know no one's ever fudged on those numbers, right? How much you weigh, how tall you are, I've always had 6'2". So next time I go and renew my license, it will be a big step to actually say, you know what? I'm actually only 6'1". This is not a big deal, right? It's not really Is that a lie? For me to say I'm 6'2 when I'm really 6'1.5 and I can round up? See, I think when I even mention that, the thought is it's just not that big of a deal. We're talking about an inch at best. So let me ask you a question. As you look back just over your last week, consider just this past week. Is there anything that you said that you know that just is not exactly true? Okay, consider maybe if you work and have a job and you told your boss, the boss said, hey, how's that project coming along? Are you almost done with that? And your response was, yeah, absolutely, I'm almost completely finished and done with this project. And the boss is like, great, great, well done. But in your mind, you're thinking, I haven't even started this project, but I didn't want to get busted, so I told him that the project was almost done. How about if you're married? Your spouse says, hey, have you gotten around to that yet? And it's the 10th time your spouse has asked you if you've gotten around to whatever that is. And so, I've started that. I'm almost finished with that. But you haven't even touched it. How about prayer? You ever tell someone, hey, I've been praying for you, or they say to you, gosh, I've been praying for you, and it's just been so awesome. And you just feel this immediate need to say, you know what? I've been praying for you as well. But then you get hit with the thought, oh my gosh, I've never prayed for you in my entire life. Are those lies? Does that count to exaggerate on maybe you didn't start a project, or maybe you said you had been praying, but you really hadn't been praying? Silly examples, but I think all those examples, the mindset is, it's just not that big of a deal, okay? No one is getting hurt. No one is even, it's just not that big of a deal. Well, in all of my years of studying the Bible, I can't find one instance where a lie is not that big of a deal to God. Where I can't find an instance where something like a white lie or a half-truth or double-speak or things like exaggeration or sarcasm, where God says, yeah, that's okay. It's not that big of a deal. Did you catch those? White lies, half-truths, double-speak, exaggerations, sarcasms. Scripture makes pretty clear that those are all in the same camp. And the camp is called, those are all lies. There's no such thing as a big lie, a middle lie, like a little lie, a white lie, a black lie. There's lying is lying. So whether I'm 6'1 and I say I'm 6'2, that is a blatant lie. If you said you started something but you didn't, that's a blatant lie. We can call it an exaggeration, but an exaggeration is just another word for a lie. I like how C.S. Lewis said it. C.S. Lewis says this, a little lie is like a little pregnancy. It doesn't take long before everyone knows. So what is a little lie to you? At some point, it might not happen immediately, like pregnancy. You don't see it immediately. But in time, like third, fourth month, a little bump. Fifth, sixth, seventh month, wow, something is going on in that lady. And the ninth month, it's okay, she's pregnant. Like, no denying it, she is pregnant. That's how lying works. There's no such thing as a little lie. A lie will eventually show up. Here's three very quick things that Scripture teaches about lying. Number one is this, it won't last. What you lie about today won't hold tomorrow. Like how Proverbs says it. 12:19 says, truthful lips endure forever. Did you catch that? Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. What you think is helping you today is actually hurting you for tomorrow, and it won't last. So the first truth is that lie, that exaggeration, that sarcasm, that doublespeak, it won't last. Number two, there will be consequences for our lies. There will be consequences. In Proverbs 19, verse 5 says this, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who pours out lies will not go free. So what we think is not that big of a deal, exaggeration, sarcasms, doublespeak, half-truths, white lies, those things will not go unnoticed and unpunished by God. And often, as I've already mentioned, I think the hardest reality about lying is it just breaks relationship. It will break our relationship with God, and it will sever relationships with people. It won't last. There's a consequence to our lies. And the third thing that Scripture teaches about a truth about lying is it's very painful and destructive. I'm going to read you a lot of Proverbs because Genesis, we've been studying Proverbs this summer. And one of the things that Proverbs teaches again and again is just the power of our words. Over and over again about communication and lying and truth. And it says this, Proverbs 25, 18. Like a club, a sword, or a sharp arrow is a man who gives false testimony against his neighbor. A club, a sword, or a sharp arrow. So consider, have you ever been hit? Have you ever been stabbed? Or have you ever been pierced by someone's lie? Because that's when you lie, when you give false testimony, when you say things that are not true, it's like hitting someone with a bat. It's like taking a knife and just jabbing it in their side or in their back. Or an arrow, it just pierces you all the way through. Lying, it's very painful and it's very destructive. Again, we'll come back to, yeah, but there's just certain things that are just not that big of a deal. Who cares if you're only 6'1 and you have on your license you're 6'2? In the grand scheme of life, who really cares? It is so insignificant. And I want you to catch today that there's nothing insignificant in the eyes of God. I think one of the most chilling verses that I read in the New Testament is when Jesus is actually teaching about words. And he says this in Matthew 12, verse 36. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. Every careless word that we have spoken, every word that we have let just fly out of our mouth that we didn't check, is that true or is that just an exaggeration? If you're a storyteller, you have to be really on guard with the stories you tell. Because sometimes the stories just get grander and grander and grander as you go. Every careless word that they will have spoken, God will have to give an account for our words to God. And we're not meant to speak careless words, but we are called to speak words that are absolutely truthful, meaning there's not a place. If you're a Christian and you've made the decision to have a right relationship with God through Jesus, there's no place for lying or sarcasms or exaggerations, doublespeak, in our language. There's no place for it whatsoever. Ninth commandment, as well as just what Jesus teaches in the New Testament, is that we are to be people who speak the truth at all times and all places to all people. I want you to, if you can, remember that. You are called, the Bible makes clear in the ninth commandment, as well as just Old and New Testament, we are to be people who speak the truth at all times, in all places, to all people. Like, there's no person that we can be lax with our speech or with our words. Truthful all the time, in all places, to all people. When you talk, do people walk away from you, and do they think, is that really true? Like, when people leave a conversation with you, whatever the conversation may have been, do people walk away from you wondering, I wonder if what they said is actually completely true or only partially true or only somewhat true? Like, I have my kids already asking me, Caden, who can't defend himself because he's asleep and he's 4, is already asking me, Daddy, is that just a story or is that really true? So apparently I'm a great storyteller and I add in lots of details, so much so where Caden, my 4-year-old, is already asking, is that true or is that a story, Daddy? When you walk away from conversations with people, do they wonder, was that really true, partially true, kind of halfway true, or not true at all? The hope would be, the commandment would be, the call from God to us is that when people walk away from us, our speech, our words, are to be absolutely truthful at all times and all places with all people. Proverbs chapter 12 says a pretty powerful statement about what God thinks about lying. He says this, the Lord detests, it's pretty strong language, The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. The Lord detests lying lips. So I can have speech that will either be absolute detestable to God, or my speech can actually be delightful to God. And the only difference is, will I have lies, will I lie, or will I be a person, a man or woman, who's absolutely speaking truth at all times, in all places, to all people? Why does God detest, and it's really a stronger word of God hates lying? Why? Jesus actually answers that question for us. When I am lying, when I am exaggerating, when I'm bearing false witness or false testimony against someone else, I look nothing like God, but I actually look like God's enemy. Jesus, when he was teaching, he's got a group of pastors in front of him, a group of Pharisees, religious leaders of the day, and he says this to them in John chapter 8. You belong to your father, the devil. Can you imagine, Jesus, if you're that Pharisee, that religious leader, the men who have studied scriptures, gotten everything, they've just surrounded themselves with religiosity. And this Jewish carpenter comes up to you and he says, you belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, meaning the devil, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and a father of lies. So when I lie, when I bear false testimony, when I bend the truth, double speak, exaggerate, I don't look anything like God the Father. I look like the devil because I'm mimicking what he does, and he does so well. His lies started in the garden. And not only when I'm lying, I don't look anything in the image that I've been created, but if you look at Jesus, roughly about 100 times in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus says this, I tell you the truth. So not only do I look like the one in whose image I've been created, but I sound nothing like the one I claim to follow. So if I claim to follow Christ, there can't be any room in my speech, in my words, for lies and exaggerations and sarcasms. Why? Because if I claim to have a relationship with the one who not only taught the truth, but proclaimed to be the truth, it's completely inconsistent for me to have lies, exaggerations, half-truths, whatever you would call them. I'm going to finish by asking one question and then answering in a few different ways. And the question that I want to finish with is the ninth commandment clearly says, don't bear false witness. Don't be a liar. Don't lie against your neighbor. And if you read Old Testament as well as New Testament, all over the place, be a man or a woman who speaks the truth all the time, in all places, with all people. So my question is, how do I do that? How can I honor the ninth commandment at all times, no matter where I am, no matter what I'm doing, no matter who I'm with? How can I honor the ninth commandment and ultimately, how can I honor what Scripture calls me to be an absolutely truthful person? Number one is this. Ask God to change your heart. If you're going to be a truthful person, there's got to be a transformation, a change in your heart. Jesus said this about words. Again, speaking to the Pharisees. You don't have to be confused now why the Pharisees did not like Jesus all that much. You brood of vipers. Okay, a viper is a very venomous snake, very poisonous. It bites, venom just travels throughout and kills. You brood of vipers. How can you, who are evil, say anything good? How do you answer that question? If you're that guy, if you're that Pharisee, and Jesus says to you, how can you who are evil say anything good? That's a question that just floors you. I have no answer. And then Jesus says, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you want to know the condition of what's going on in your heart today, just listen to yourself. This week, I'd encourage you, listen to what you say. That will be the reflector, that will be the mirror, so to speak, of what's ultimately really happening in your heart. If you have lies, doublespeak, half-truths, exaggeration, sarcasm, joking, which we'll talk about in a second, if you have those things coming out of your mouth, you don't just have a verbal problem, you have a heart problem. Because the mouth gives voice to ultimately what's going on in the heart. And if you want to be a person, a man or woman of the truth, you have to simply start by saying, God, would you change my heart? And this is what I love about the gospel. The gospel changes men's and women's hearts. I come to God very sinful, full of lies and wickedness and just evilness in my heart, spewing out of my mouth, and God transforms my heart. And when I begin a relationship with God through Jesus, I now have the truth living in me. I don't just know the truth, but Jesus claimed to be, I am the truth, and I have the truth has taken up residence in me. I like how Oswald Chambers said it. He said this, until the Son of God, this is a great quote, until the Son of God is formed in us, we are not sincere, not even honest. But when his life comes into us, he makes us honest with ourselves and generous and kind towards others. When I get the truth, when I have Jesus Christ in me and I have that relationship, there is a transformation of my heart and it begins to be reflected in my words. If you're going to be a person of the truth, speaking truth at all times and all places to all people, it starts with asking God, would you please change my heart? Number two, get God's word in you. I can't really speak truth unless I really know truth. Knowing truth starts with knowing Jesus, but then getting God's word into us. And as God's word gets into me, it's something amazing happens. God's word starts getting out of me. My speech totally changes because I'm thinking now, I'm pondering, I'm meditating, I'm considering the scripture that has just taken up residence in me. Well, I can't say that because that's just inconsistent with what scripture says. So number two is get God's word in you. I like how David said it, King David, Psalm 119, verse 11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. What a great, simple, but profound, powerful verse. God, I've just taken your word and I've gotten, it's just in me. Why? Because I don't want to sin against you. And if I'm sinning against you, I'm sinning against other people. So I'm going to tuck. I'm going to hide. I'm going to know. I'm going to love. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to memorize your word so much that sin is just not going to be an option for me because your word is just flowing out of me, not lies, half-truths, doublespeak. Ask God to change your heart. Number two, get God's word in you. Number three, and I think this one will be hard, silence the many voices of lying. Lying's got a few different voices and a few different faces. One voice of lying is called gossip, okay? This is what Proverbs says about gossip. Verse 26, or chapter 26, verse 22. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. Have you ever had someone say something to you, or you heard someone say something about you? And I know we all like to think we're pretty tough and I got thick skin and it just bounces off me. No, it doesn't. That's the power of words. It just gets in us where we ponder it, we think about it. Wow, why did they say that? Why do they think that of me? And the more we ponder the word, it gets deeper and deeper, more ingrained into us. The words of gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. Do you know the way that you stop gossip? Is you just stop listening to it. So if you're around someone and they're just They have to say something about anyone and everyone just because that's their thing. They just love to gossip. They collect information, regardless if it's true or not. They want to know the story about anyone and everyone so that they can tell a different version of that story to anyone and everyone. The way to stop gossip is just walk away. A gossip can't gossip unless they've got someone to gossip to. I like how Proverbs 17, verse 4. A wicked man listens to evil lips, and a liar pays attention to a gossip or a malicious tongue. People who love lies, they love the gossip. Give me more. I don't care if it's really true. Just give me what you got so I can start spreading that. Silence the many voices, namely gossip. By the way, I don't know if, you know, in your background, in terms of your church background history, not just here at Hope Christian Church, but where you've come from in the past. If you want to divide a community really, really quick, just start gossiping. Start gossiping about the leader. Start gossiping about this person and that person. Did you hear this? Did you hear that? If you want to just divide a community, introduce lying through gossip. It will absolutely devastate. So be on guard against gossip. When you hear it, shut it down. And you shut it down by walking away. I'm not telling you you have to tell someone to shut up and just punch them. And, you know, if God leads you to do that, then that's on you. But silence the many voices. Number one is gossip. And the second voice, this is hard, is joking, a.k.a. sarcasm. Proverbs 26 says this, 26 verse 18 and 19, like a madman shooting firebrands or deadly arrows is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. You ever been at the brunt of someone's joke? They said something to you and they saw that it really hurt and the response, oh, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just totally kidding. And you walk away knowing, no, you're not. You're not kidding. You used your joke to communicate that to me. Like a madman who's just shooting arrows, doesn't matter where they go and doesn't matter where they land, is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. I'm not saying that you can't be funny. Be funny. But if you're using lying and joking, or using joking to communicate lies to get the laugh, that's sinful. That's actually evil. That's wicked. That's mean. That's cruel. To communicate a lie, what you might think is a half lie, and then cover it up with, no, I was just kidding. Third one would be flattery. Proverbs 29 verse 5 says, whoever flatters his neighbor is spreading a net for his feet. Where you use a lie to manipulate someone to get them to do for you what you want them to do, what they normally might not do. And so you use your words, flattery, manipulation, lying, just to get them to give to you or to do for you what they might not normally do unless you lied to them or flattered them. And I like how Solomon says, whoever flatters his neighbor, you're really spreading a net for your own feet. Meaning you're the one who's going to get tripped up. You're the one who's going to get caught. You're the one who will get stuck. All right, so ask God for a changed heart. Get God's word in you. Silence the many voices of lying. Three more. Go through these quick. Number four is guard the gate of your mouth. You can have a transformed heart, a new heart, where Jesus has taken up residence and the truth is in you and living in you and coming out of you. But there is still a principle that says you have to be on guard against what comes out of your mouth. Proverbs, again, 21. He who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity. Or Proverbs 13, 3. He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. I like how the psalmist actually says it. Psalm 141. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord, keep watch over the door of my lips. It's this great picture that your mouth should have a door in front of it. And that door stays closed. And it should stay closed really throughout the day. I'm going through, Kyla and I are going through this thing with our kids right now. Is, you know, just because it popped into your head doesn't mean it should come out your mouth. There's no door. There's no filter. I had this idea, so I'll say it. Doesn't really matter if it's true. Doesn't matter if it's mean. Doesn't matter any. It's just in my head, and I got to get it out. Scripture says, no, guard the door, the gate of your mouth. I personally have not done this well over the years. I've let too many words fly out of my mouth, and this is the hard thing with words. Once they fly out of your mouth, you can't get them back. There's no take backs. You can't just say, well, I was just kidding. It doesn't matter. It's out there. I like how Charles Spurgeon said this. If you want the truth to go round the world, you must hire an express train to pull it. But if you want a lie to go round the world, it will fly. It is as light as a feather, and a breath will carry it. If you want to speak truth and get truth out there, you're going to have to work pretty hard. But if you just want a lie to get out there, it's as light as a feather, and it just takes one person's breath to speak it. This is how I filter words coming out of my mouth. And it's taken me a long time to learn how to do this, and I'm not saying I've mastered this yet, but this is where I'm working, because I don't want my words to crush people or hurt people. I want my words to bless or benefit or encourage or challenge or love people. And so before words fly out, these are the questions. Is what I'm about to say, is it going to glorify God? And if it's not, then I don't say it. Is what I'm about to say, is it going to actually benefit the person that's listening to me right now? If it's not going to benefit, I don't say it. I ask the question, is it true? And if it's not true, I don't say it. Fourth, is it necessary? Do I really need to say this to them right now? Is this what they really need me to say to them? I know that might seem like, wow, that's four questions. Like, that happens in the span of like a second or two. If you start filtering your words through that, is it glorifying to God? Is it benefit the one who's going to listen? Is it true? And if it doesn't meet that standard, then don't say it. Guard the gate of your mouth. Number five, two more. Love people deeply. You have to understand, if you break the ninth commandment and you lie, you've also broken something else. When a wise scholar, a biblical scholar, came to Jesus and just said, if I'm going to do anything, if I'm going to pay attention to any of the 613 laws in this Old Testament, which one should I do? And Jesus said, well, love God with all of you, heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's number one. And number two is love your neighbor. If you break the ninth commandment and lie, deceive, manipulate, you've not only broken the ninth commandment, but you've broken the second greatest commandment, which is to love your neighbor. This is what Proverbs says about a lying tongue. Proverbs 26, verse 28. A lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. The most unloving thing that we can do towards our neighbor is to look at them and lie to them or spread lies about them. You've broken the ninth, and now you've broken the second, because you're called to love your neighbor. And the most unloving thing you can do is just spread lies, false testimony, false witness. Colossians, Paul says this, chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. Like, that's what you used to do. Meaning, before you made a decision to have a relationship with God through Jesus, that's what you used to be like. You used to lie. You used to exaggerate. You used to joke around a lot at the expense of someone else. That's what you used to do. But Paul says, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on a new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. That's what you used to be, but that's not you anymore. So when I'm lying, exaggerating, flattering, manipulating, double talk, or double speak, that's the old guy. That's not the new man that is being made in the image of his Creator. Number five is love people deeply. And number six, and this is the last one, trust God with the truth. We often lie in order to manipulate an outcome that's favorable to us. And so we'll say something, like, again, you might think it's small, but I would tell people I was 6'2 because I really thought they would look at me differently. Oh, you're only 6'1? Who are you? You're 6'2? Oh, my goodness. I would have that conversation. You can think whatever, but we often tell ourselves lies, or we promote lies or say things that are just blatant lies because we don't trust God with the truth. A good friend of mine was getting interviewed for a new job, and it came to the part of the conversation, and it was a pretty important job and a very well-paying job. And so they just asked him a simple question. Well, we're really excited about you, and we'd really like to bring you on board. And so give us, you know, what is it that you currently make in your current job? Because we not only like to match that, but we want to give you a little bit more than that because we want you in this job. And so he gave them a number. And he got off the phone, and they offered him a job. And 2-3 days later, calls me up and he says, I totally lied. And I said, well, about what? And he said, well, they asked me for a number and I gave them a number and it wasn't the right number. I wanted to give them a number so that I would get even more money. And so, well, what are you going to do? He called back the company and said, listen, I need to confess something to you, but I didn't, when you asked me how much I currently make, I gave you about a number that was about $10,000 higher than I'm actually currently making. So I apologize that I totally lied to you. I still want to work for your company. And the company was like, wow, that's we don't want you working for us anymore. And so they took the job offer off the table. And my friend, good friend, just he didn't trust God with the truth. Meaning, if I gave him the legit number, I just didn't believe that God would take care of me or provide for whatever the needs may have been. And guess what? About a month and a half after that phone conversation, that guy called back and he said, listen, I've been thinking a lot about what you did, and it took a lot of courage and humility to call me and tell me that you lied to me, and we haven't found anyone, and I've been holding this job for you. If you want this job, I will give you the job at the pay that we agreed upon. It was amazing. And so he took this job. Long story to make a very simple point. Don't lie to manipulate some outcome because you think God somehow won't take care of you or won't provide for you. Trust God with the truth. Six things. If you would be a man or a woman who honors the ninth commandment and really is a person who speaks the truth at all times and all places to all people, ask God for a changed heart. Get God's word in you. Silence the many voices of lying. Number four, guard the gate of your mouth. Number five, love people deeply. And the last one, number six, was trust God with the absolute truth, the whole truth, not just part of it, but all of the truth. That's the ninth commandment. Don't lie. Could have said that in about a minute. It's a little bit longer. Ninth commandment is do not lie. My heart's desire for me, my heart's desire for all of you, for Hope Christian Church, my desire for everyone back at Genesis, is that we would genuinely be men and women who speak the truth. We're known, we're recognized for how truthful we are. We're not known for the liars and the exaggerators and the manipulators and the double speak. People don't walk away from us saying, is that really true or is that just another fabricated story? My heart's desire for all of you, for myself, would be that we're telling the truth at all times and all places with all people. And the reality is, I'll finish with this, I can't be a truthful person unless I have the truth in me. And I'm not talking about having truthful information or knowledge or facts, but I cannot be a truthful person unless I have the truth living within me. Not only forming me, but forming the words that are now coming out of my mouth. So the last question is, do you know the one who said, I am the way, I am the truth? If you don't know, Jesus is the one who said, I am the way, I am the truth. Truth will not be a reality for you because truth has not gotten into the depths of your soul of who you are. And this is such the amazing good news of the gospel, is that God can look at me, evil of heart, wicked, lying, and say, I love you. I want to have a relationship with you. And he made it possible because of Jesus. And because of Jesus now taking up residence in me, who I am, my heart and my soul, I've got truth forming me and forming the words that are coming out of my mouth. If you know Jesus, I celebrate that. But continue to walk with Jesus where he is forming not only you, but forming and informing the words. And if you don't know Jesus, it would be my heart's desire, as I know your leader's heart's desire here, that you make a decision today, right now, I want to know the truth. I want to have a relationship with the one who said, I am the way, I am the truth. And if you haven't made that decision to get right with God, Jesus is the way we get right with God. Let me close and pray. Jesus, I give you thanks that you are very good and gracious and kind and merciful. Jesus, I give you thanks that you've set your affection on me, one who is a sinner, evil of heart, so many lies. But God, I give thanks that you offer forgiveness and mercy and grace. I give thanks that Jesus came, that Jesus showed up, not only speaking the truth, but claiming to be the truth. So, God, I just give thanks that those that are here in this place this morning, those that have started that relationship, God, with your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray that the truth would just continue to not only form them, but form the words that are coming out of their mouth, that we would be absolutely truthful. And God, if there is anyone, even if it's just one person that's here today that does not know Jesus as the truth, Jesus as the way to be right with you, God, Jesus as the way to have sins forgiven and have peace with you, I pray in their heart right now, God, that they would just confess Jesus as God, receive what he has done for them, and invite the truth, being Jesus Christ, to take residence in their heart and soul. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.